Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii and Boston, Massachusetts. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Have you experienced regret? How about guilt and shame? How does one live for more than 25 years with regret, shame, guilt, and depression? How would you feel if that was you? And your father was the most recognized motivational speaker in the world. This is the story of Julie Ziegler Norman, the daughter of the late Zig Ziegler. We pause for a moment here at the beginning of our program to remind you that the reason we have the Good Life Radio Show is to bring you closer and closer to Jesus Christ. If you're in the middle of regret or guilt or shame or in the darkness of depression, we're here to remind you that God loves you, that God knows you, and dear one, you are not alone. And so God sends us to be with you and you with us and to share in this moment together. And for us to remind you that God loves you so much, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sins. Jesus shed his blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, yes. 3 days later, he rose from the grave. And the living Christ, dear one, calls you to himself right now. Would you open your heart to Jesus? Would you receive Christ as your Savior and Lord, even as Julie has experienced the life-changing power of Jesus? Julie Ziegler Norman is the author of Growing Up Ziegler, A Daughter's Broken Journey from Heartache to Hope. She continues her father's legacy as a dynamic motivational speaker and author. She shared the platform with General Colin Powell, Rudy Giuliani, President George W. Bush, Laura Bush, Howard Putnam, Lou Holtz, Steve Forbes, Sarah Palin, Joe Montana, and others. Julie, welcome to our show.
Oh, thank you so much, Danny. I am just thrilled to be with you and Suzanne today.
Julie, where did you grow up?
I grew up the first 13 years in Columbia, South Carolina, for the most part. Those were my school years. And then we moved to Dallas, Texas when I was 13. And I lived there until I married when I was 18.
What was it like growing up in the home of Zig Ziegler, the motivator's motivator?
Well, I can assure you it was exciting. He was a very energetic man who was full of fun and laughter, and he made life something to look forward to. He traveled. He was a salesman most of my younger years and was on the road most of the week, usually 5 days at least. And when he came home on the weekend, it was almost like Christmas because he brought such energy and love and excitement into the house. And he was a prankster. So we never knew what he was going to be up to. And he used to say, like, tickle our funny bones. And he did it all the time. But when he became a well-known motivational speaker, it was kind of similar to having a preacher for a father. Because, you know, people knew who your dad was. And they knew what he stood for because he truly talked about it. And he didn't become a Christian until I was 17. But he was very much a speaker who taught integrity and character and all of those things even before he knew Christ.
What does it mean to you, Julie, when you hear God has power to redeem all the wrong choices you've made and bring you full circle to hope and healing? When you hear that, what resonates in your heart?
That is the truth. The total and whole truth, because I've experienced his redemption, his redeeming love, the power of that love, the totality of his love, and have felt set free from the regret, the shame, the guilt, and the depression that my choices brought on me. So when you say that, I say amen, amen. The truth of his word is spoken.
How did you become a Christian?
I actually went to a Bill Gothard seminar when I was 16. And my father sent me, my oldest sister Susan and my sister Cindy. He got us tickets because it was called the Basic Youth Conflict seminar. And he had heard it was a really good one, so he sent us, even though he wasn't a Christian. He didn't consider himself truly a non-Christian because he had been taken to the Baptist church his whole early life. But he just didn't go to church and didn't take us to church back then. But it was a youth thing, in his opinion. So he sent us. And the first night, my sisters and I went. And that was, I believe, Friday. And then Saturday morning, they didn't want to go back, but I went alone. And it was there that day that I accepted Jesus Christ into my heart. I went home that night, and I did what Bill said, and I got on my knees, and I repented for everything I'd ever done to break God's heart. And I wept, and I literally felt the hands of God on my shoulders, Danny. It was a physical touch, and I've never felt such overpowering love in all of my life. And that was the beginning of a relationship that I thought ended 3 weeks later. And I was so touched by the depth of that love that I didn't want to tell anybody. I was afraid I would lose it, that it would tarnish it somehow. But I was unchurched and I was undiscipled and I didn't know anything about grace. I didn't know anything about anything except that Jesus loved me and he'd forgiven me, and that much I knew. And then 3 weeks later, I fell and I sinned sexually again, and not understanding grace, I thought he was done with me and that was it. And I was truly in a much worse place for having known his love and being conscious and aware that I'd broken his heart, knowing. And then the distance I put between us because I didn't understand grace was where I lived in the worst emotional place I can, you know, I don't wish that on anybody. It was a tough place to be. And so I kept making wrong choices because I thought I had ruined my chance, a relationship with him and eternity and everything else to do with Christ.
It almost sounds like a feeling of hopelessness. You know, I've lost it. Then if I can't ever regain that experience or that love or that warmth that I felt, then, you know, it's sort of like all hell broke loose.
Absolutely. Yes. That's what it felt like. I was a destitute girl and didn't have a person in the world to tell about it. You know, because I had such a secret other life that my parents didn't know about when I was a teenager. The move to Dallas was extremely difficult for my sisters and I. And I didn't fit in, and I got in with the wrong crowd. And they just didn't ever do it because I was an obedient child. You know, I followed the rules, and I didn't break curfews, and I was very helpful and always worked and you wouldn't have guessed that I had a life that I was truly disgusted with going on behind their back. And I think a lot of kids do live that way, but and it's not a good way for any kid to live.
Well, Julie, I'm wondering if we could come back and maybe talk a little bit about that, because I don't think it's uncommon for a young person to have or to live a double life. I think it resonates with someone as you're saying it, not only a young person, but an adult, a double life. You're touching on a nerve with people. I mean, it's like someone wants to turn the radio, the media program off, but they don't want to because they want to hear what's going to happen next. Because if God can work in someone who is living a double life, and you know the disparity of the two, one is a show that others can look at and really admire, and yet we know that there's something going on behind the scenes that no one else knows about, this secret life. Boy, you're really touching on it now, Julie. Let's come back and talk more. Dear friend, double life, you know what that's like? Have you ever lived a double life? Hey, you're not alone. I know what that's like. I've experienced that. How about you? You ever have a desire to be free from that? To be whole? To have that consistency? Julie Ziegler-Norman is with us, sharing heart to heart, and she's going to share more when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home. Afraid that you will not be found, it won't be long before your sun goes down. Just leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
One of Hawaii's premier golf tournaments is right around the corner. On Friday, July 29th, Jesus Christ is Calling You Evangelistic Ministries presents the 19th annual Call to Hope Golf Tournament at Pearl Country Club. Each year, golfers converge for a day of fun, healthy competition, great food, fellowship, and fabulous prizes. Enter your team today. The Call to Hope Golf Tournament, Friday, July 29th. For more info or to register, visit jccy.org.
Active Lifestyle are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Julie Ziegler Norman would often say, her dad, Zig Ziegler, her dad is the king of doing life right, and she is the poster child of doing life wrong. You ever feel that kind of disparity in life, sort of a feeling of not measuring up? Well, you're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer. I'm grateful that you're with us today. If you're tuning in right now or maybe caught the tail end of the last segment, you can get this program in its entirety as a free podcast at thegoodlifehawaii.com. You can find out more about Julie Ziegler Norman at julieziegler-norman.com. Get her book, Growing Up Ziegler, A Daughter's Broken Journey from Heartache to Hope. Again, julieziegler-norman.com. Julie, you focus a good part of your speaking on getting beyond a hurtful past. How has that applied to you?
Well, Danny, what I learned is you really don't know how much a hurtful past is holding you back until you have gone through it and gotten beyond it. I really do feel that it is a mission for me, that God has put me in a position to let people know the symptoms of choices that cause us to feel unworthy to be loved by God, to serve God. I mean, intellectually, I knew that God loved me, but I did not feel worthy of that because I felt unforgivable for the things that I had done. And I truly, truly did not understand how to get beyond myself in that until I grew to a place in my spiritual life later on that I knew that I wanted what God wanted more than I wanted what I wanted. I just wanted to please Him and be obedient to Him. And it wasn't until I was in that place that I was willing to do whatever He put in front of me. And He asked me to do some hard things. He asked me to look at my past. He asked me to work through it. And what I learned is you really have to go through your past to get beyond it. And I had so buried choices that I'd made and the repercussions from that I didn't even recognize the symptoms that were happening to me. So I share in public quite often some of the symptoms of the results of the bad choices that I made so that others might recognize themselves and seek out the help that they need to get to a place where they feel worthy to serve God and they are in a place of what I call usability by Him again. Mm-hmm. I thought I was serving Him pretty well until God had sent a dream to a friend of mine that truly changed my life.
Julie, let's downshift a little bit.
Okay.
There are some things that you're saying that even before our break, you know, what was it? To the level of your discretion, obviously, but what was it or what were those things that had seemingly set you aside.
Yeah, I don't mind telling you, Danny. I, you know, as I said, I was living the double life as a young teenager. And in fact, that had a lot to do with me getting married at the age 18. Because after I had met Christ at the age of 17, and my father became a Christian just a few months after that. And after that, I really was not comfortable with the lifestyle I was living, which was pretty promiscuous. And I met a man who was twice my age. I didn't know he was twice my age for quite a while. But about 9 months into the relationship, I found out, and I used the logic that any child would use, was I thought I loved him at, when I thought he was 30, so why wouldn't I love him when he's 36? And it was a very controlling relationship, and I married. Of course, my parents didn't want me to, but my motivation, Danny, was that I had secretly lived with this man, and I knew that was wrong. And I believed that if I married him, it could make it right, and that then I could quit sinning, because sexual promiscuity was such an issue for me. I just didn't know how to say no, and it wasn't that I wanted to be involved in those things. I just somehow felt obligated and didn't want to displease or upset anybody, or I just didn't have the power in my heart to say no. And so I married the man, and 3 years later, we had a little girl, almost 3 years later. And then his jealousy that I knew was there towards others came out towards our child. And she could see he became physically abusive at that point, and I left shortly thereafter. And then I was single for 7 years. And during that time period, I was unable to stop my pattern of sexual, at that point, I won't say I wasn't promiscuous, but I didn't date much, so, because I had a little girl to raise, but I still had trouble with the no, still had sex with men I really didn't want to have sex with, because I didn't truly know how not to. I've spoken to many women who felt the same way. I was surprised to find out that that is not that uncommon, mm-hmm. But I became pregnant by a man I barely knew. I knew I wouldn't marry, and without telling anyone, I went and had an abortion, and I was at 3 months when I made that decision. But, Danny, I had been in the system since I was 14, and when I say the system, I mean I had gotten involved in the county hospital for birth control without my parents' knowledge when I was 14. I had continued to go until they put some Planned Parenthood closer to our community. Then I went there, and I had been well inaugurated into birth control and what the different options were, and I honestly thought I believed in abortion at the time I had mine. It wasn't until I got help years later that I figured out, I was very slow on this one, but that's exactly when my alcoholism started. That's when vodka showed up under my kitchen sink, was immediately following that abortion. And I know I was self-medicating because I didn't deal with any of the emotions. I thought I believed in it. I wouldn't allow myself to grieve. I wouldn't even allow myself to think about that child as possibly even being a baby. But my heart knew, my mother's heart knew, and I tried to stuff it with the alcohol. I, about a year and a half later, got pregnant again by a man I dated off and on. And I knew I wouldn't marry him. He's what I would call a high-functioning alcoholic drug addict. And I didn't tell either one of the men I was pregnant by that I was pregnant, and I went and had an abortion. That time at about 4 weeks. And the second one was actually easier because I was just so shut off. My heart was so closed down. The reason I did both of them was I was already raising a child by myself. I felt afraid that I couldn't raise two, but more than that, my father by then was a Christian. And not only was he Christian, he was teaching the sanctuary Sunday school class at what was then the biggest First Baptist church in the world, First Baptist Dallas, under Dr. W.A. Criswell. Mm-hmm. And I loved my daddy, and I did not want to bring shame on him. And that was a big, big part of my decision. So those were the issues that, you know, with those two abortions that really took me into a place of the deepest despair, except that I wouldn't think about it. I wouldn't acknowledge it. I wouldn't go there. And I didn't see that as a problem for many years, even with a lot of Christian counseling, interestingly.
During that time, Julie, was there anyone that you could open up to, anyone that you felt safe with to really let them see who you were and what you were going through?
Well, when I finally got sober, which happened as a result of my husband, his alcoholism got to place. I married when my little girl was almost seven. I remarried. And my husband, Jim, and I, we were a perfect match because we kept up with each other's drinking. And we didn't even realize that was part of the attraction until we got sober about 2.5 years later. But his drinking got so bad, I went to Al-Anon. And I found out I needed to turn him over to the care of God. And that scared him to pieces when I told him I got home that night. He said, "You talk about all you drunk husbands." I said, "No, they told me I needed to turn you over to the care of God. There was nothing I could do about your drinking, and I needed to figure out what was wrong with me." So I didn't know it scared him. The next day, he went to AA and got sober and never had another drink until he was sober the day he died, almost 30 years later. But that was the beginning of me. I didn't deal with it, but in that program, that 12-step program, on the fifth step, I shared with my sponsor that I'd had two abortions. And besides my husband, and by then I'd told my sister Cindy, but I told Jim before we married that I had had two abortions because I felt like that might be a deal breaker and that he deserved to know. And let me just say right here that both of the men who I was pregnant by, whose babies I aborted, later called me, and I told them about the abortions. They both, on their own, offered to pay half, and neither one of them had a problem with it. Mm. Yeah, and Danny, I'm sad to say I need to get that out there because a fellow I'd had a relationship with years ago found me and wrote to me through my website and asked me, "Do I have a baby I need to be mourning?" Because we had had a physical relationship, and I had forgotten to say in a radio interview that he heard that the daddy both knew. So I want to be very clear that both of those men knew.
Hmm. Yeah. As we share in this time, this is such a tender, tender moment with Julie. And Julie, you are gracious, and the grace of God is upon you. As you share these things, you are touching on life, and you're touching on those things that we don't talk about. We instinctively, for whatever reason, well, we can theorize of it, we can explain it away, but there are things that we cover. The shame, the regret. We talked about a little bit about that earlier. When we come back from our break, there is there is a kind of liberty that is being sensed, released, felt in our time with Julie Ziegler-Norman. It's almost like when you put things in the light, the darkness has no place. There's no foothold anymore. There's an openness in her. There's a freedom because she knows what it's like, even in the dark moments, to know that Christ is there. And in your dark moment, He's there. Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I lead you home.
One of Hawaii's premier golf tournaments is right around the corner. On Friday, July 29th, Jesus Christ is Calling You Evangelistic Ministries presents the 19th annual Call to Hope Golf Tournament at Pearl Country Club. Each year, golfers converge for a day of fun, healthy competition, great food, fellowship, and fabulous prizes. Enter your team today. The Call to Hope Golf Tournament, Friday, July 29th. For more info or to register, visit jccy.org.
A healthy smile can make all the difference. But where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waihua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waihua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, "I believe in you." Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
People might assume Zig Ziglar's daughter would automatically grow up to have a positive attitude. And Julie Ziegler-Norman says, "For a large portion of my life, I was just positive. I was miserable." Well, she's sharing some of the pain, the darkness, the struggle. And you know what? The things that happen in life that we rarely, sometimes never talk about. And it can be quite lonely. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here, with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, with Julie Ziegler-Norman. You can find out more about Julie at julieziegler-norman.com and get her book, Growing Up a Ziegler, A Daughter's Broken Journey, From Heartache to Hope. Julie, as we've gone back and talked about those dark moments, lonely moments, how did the Lord bring you through as you revisited for the sake of healing?
It was definitely a well thought out plan of his. I was not it wasn't even on my radar that those choices of abortion had affected me to the point that I was even distant from my youngest daughter. My relationship with her, this child that I had worked so hard to have every spare minute with, as soon as I had my abortion, Danny, I got a job after that. I lost the job because I couldn't work. I was so depressed immediately after, but I never associated that depression with the abortion. I thought it was because the relationship that I had thought might go somewhere didn't. And it was years later when I went to a post-abortion Bible study. That's how he got my attention. My friend Missy at church had a dream, and she told me that God, she knew that she was to let me know that he could not use me fully until I had done the thing I was asked to do. And immediately when she said that, the hair just stood up on my arms because I knew what my sister had invited me to do the week before, and that was to attend an abortion recovery Bible study at a pregnancy resource center near her home.
Julie, how far into your marriage was this? Your marriage to Jim?
Yes, this was only in 2005, and we married in 1984. Okay. So it was quite a ways into that marriage. And I had Christian counseling about my abortions between the time we got sober and when I went to the Pregnancy Resource Center. But I still did not, even though we had a little memorial for my babies, I told mom and dad what I'd done. The secret was out. I still did not accept the forgiveness that God had given me. I didn't feel worthy which is a common thing that men and women who've chosen abortion feel. I just couldn't believe it at that point that I would truly be forgiven. Though I knew what the scripture said, I didn't feel I was worthy to accept it. But when Missy told me that at church, even though I didn't want to go, I didn't like baby showers. I didn't like anything with babies. I had a very distant relationship with all of my grandchildren because it hurt me to hold them. To hold them was to acknowledge that I didn't have my two babies that I'd aborted. I just couldn't. The smell of them, the feel of them, their sweet little infant selves, hit a place in my heart that was so unbearable that I would, when one of my children would hand me a baby, I would turn it around to face out. And I called it this because I just could not handle it.
Talk to us a little bit, Julie, about the alcoholism and its effect in all of this.
I started drinking after that first abortion, and I lived alone. Unjustified, if you live alone, how are you going to have a drink? You know, I heard that people shouldn't drink alone. My parents never drank, so I didn't have a lot of exposure to it as a kid, other than what other kids did that I was around. And then my first husband didn't drink at all, so I didn't drink really in that relationship. But when Jim and I, you know, after that abortion, I did drink, and then Jim and I drank a lot together because he was already an alcoholic. But it was, you know, like I said, I didn't associate it with the abortion until after I went through the Bible study, and it was like a big aha, because she asked, when did you really start drinking alcoholically? And I thought about it. It just was the first thing that I really ever needed to, well, I just couldn't deal with it at all, even admit it.
Julie, as I listen, I just think about 2 Corinthians 1:3-5, and it a simple version of it is, if God allows us to suffer, why does he do this? And it's so that he can first comfort us, and then we can comfort others. And I think of our listening audience, and Julie, I just thank God for your willingness to be so candid and open, because you bring that scripture right off the pages. And there are many listeners here, far many more than people realize, that have experienced abortion, they've experienced alcoholism, they've experienced the incredible denial to self of what they're going through. And I just so appreciate what you're sharing today. There's a little story about your dad being bitten by a chipmunk. Thank you. Okay. You can take it from there.
Well, what I liken this story to, I'll end it with what it really means to me today. But I had a chipmunk that got away from me when I was about a 9-year-old girl. And Daddy was in the yard. I was washing that chipmunk's cage, and I put it in a box and put it on top of my mom's car. And the chipmunk got out of that box, and I started screaming for Daddy to get the chipmunk. And my daddy never asked questions. He always went after whatever it was that was in front of him. And he took off after that chipmunk ran all over that yard. Believe it or not, he caught it. And if you've ever watched a ground squirrel, you know that was a miracle of God. But he caught that chipmunk, and when he grabbed it, that chipmunk bit through the fleshy part of Daddy's thumb with both her front teeth.
Mm.
And he started screaming for me to get him something to put that chipmunk in. And I ran for the house yelling for Mama to get something for the chipmunk. All the windows were open. It was that time of year that it was cool enough. And she met us at the back door with a half-eaten box of vanilla wafers. And just as Daddy was about to sling that chipmunk into that box, I couldn't help but notice Suzanne how tightly he was holding that chipmunk, and saw the blood dripping off his elbow onto the floor. But that chipmunk could not have gotten away from my dad, even if she'd tried. And at that point, I was just so grateful that Daddy had saved my pet. But later on, you know, I equated the love, the willingness Dad was to go after that chipmunk for his little girl. But I know today that God held on to me a whole lot more tightly than my daddy ever held on to that chipmunk.
Mm-hmm.
And he captured my heart, and it was God's love that truly set me free.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The hound of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Not wanting to let go and holding you as tight as your dad with that little chipmunk.
I think it's an important message, Julie, for us to share with a dear listener today who is, you see, there's a quality in the point of communication as you're sharing these things that are so personal and even painful, that there's an openness in the hearts that takes place because of that. Somehow the marvel of transparency opens us up, and in that, God reveals himself. God moves. God appears.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I love about the story is that the picture I get is of the Lord who loves us so much that he's not, well, certainly not afraid to bleed. We know our Lord is bled,
yeah.
But it's a father's love beyond the pristine surface of keeping everything in order. God is willing to be desperate for us. He's willing to go after us, even at times it gets ugly. He'll go after us even in the dark moment, even in the place where we feel like garbage. The Lord is there. That's why we love Him. That's what's so special about our Lord. And that's His love for you. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
One of Hawaii's premier golf tournaments is right around the corner. On Friday, July 29th, Jesus Christ is Calling You Evangelistic Ministries presents the 19th annual Call to Hope Golf Tournament at Pearl Country Club. Each year, golfers converge for a day of fun, healthy competition, great food, fellowship, and fabulous prizes. Enter your team today. The Call to Hope Golf Tournament, Friday, July 29th. For more info or to register, visit jccy.org.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chanan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, L&S Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Dynamic, yes. Disarming, yes. Refreshingly transparent, indeed. Julie Ziegler-Norman continues her father's legacy as a motivational speaker and author. We're privileged to have her with us today. Danny Yamashiro here with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, and Julie Ziegler-Norman. You can find out more about Julie at julieziegler-norman.com.
Julie, we so appreciate all you shared. I want to ask this question. What does it mean to you to be the right kind of person?
Oh, Suzanne, it means to be in a place where truly I do want what God wants more than any other thing. It means that I've come to a place in life where I understand that His will is the best place for me to be. There's a freedom and a peace. I'm in a place of life where I don't worry because I understand that God is truly in control.
Mm-hmm.
I have learned finally how to set healthy boundaries for myself and others who may not have such healthy boundaries. And push for the things that they shouldn't. Once had someone tell me, it doesn't hurt to ask. And I would say, if you knew how hard it was for me to say no, you would only ask once, because this person would ask for the same thing over and over. And it would just kill me to say no in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
But finally, I figured it out. It might not hurt you to ask, but it hurts me to say no, because it's just a hard thing. But I've finally gotten to where I do have those. Regardless of my circumstances, I want to be the right kind of person. And it just holds a place of importance in my life. I was reading scripture yesterday morning, and I came across one in Romans, and it was talking about be careful, and this is definitely me, I'm rewording it, but it said be careful not to endorse things that are not of God. Mm-hmm. And the people that we associate with, the things that we put our stamp of approval of today are things that you have to be careful. If you're in a public position, you just want to be sure that it has God's approval first, because we're not after man's acceptance and man's approval. Mm-hmm. We're after his. And the right kind of person truly does want what he wants more. It means more to them than anybody else's opinion. And he has shown me through this totality of forgiveness that I have finally accepted today, through the joy, through the ability to talk about my abortion without it crushing me. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I first dealt with it, Suzanne, I cried and cried to the point that I thought, I would never stop crying. But he healed me. And I have a relationship with my babies that I aborted today. I love them so dearly, and I cannot wait to meet them in heaven. I want others to have experienced that regret, that darkness, to come to love their children and to see them as a true blessing. That God said our children are a blessing, and they truly are. And that includes the ones that have been aborted. And when we recognize and accept our part in that, and we accept the forgiveness that he has for us, the love for those children is just astounding. And it is, there's joy with it. I don't know any other way to explain it. Mm-hmm. Except there is the same joy as if they were born and I had known them and held them and loved them in this earth.
Quickly, can you share, because it's so touching to me, mm-hmm. the love of your mom and dad when you wrote your book and when they learned of all of this and their support of you?
Oh, yeah. My father wanted to be sure that the world knew that he and mom had forgiven me, mm-hmm. and that not only had they forgiven me, but they wanted me to speak freely and openly to others about the whole thing, because they knew that the kind of healing, he saw the healing mm-hmm. that I had from the Bible study I went through, and he knew how important it was for others to hear about it. So he was behind it 100%. Mom came around, and, it's hard to get past that, your family stuff. You don't put it out there. But mm-hmm. she understood that God had a place for this message of hope and healing. And the first time I ever told my story in public, they were both there. Mm-hmm. And it meant the world to me, and they have been. Daddy was up until his death, and my mother still is, and she has given my book to more people. I said, Mom, you really sure you want to give that book? She said, oh yeah, I'm so happy, you know. And she understands that other people are benefiting from my story. And I tell you, Suzanne, part of the thing is a lot of folks have the opinion that people who get abortions are folks who, you know, are homeless or mm-hmm. poor or mm-hmm. whatever, and they're shocked when somebody who is such a great person like my dad, you know, and I came from a great family, and how could somebody from that situation, you know, make this choice? But we're out there, and we are as big a percentage as those who are poor. who make that choice, and we sometimes make it for different reasons, but the end result is pretty much the same. It's devastating, even for those who don't admit it. If you see someone with a lot of anger who is pro-abortion, many times they've had their own abortion, and they don't even understand where that anger is coming from.
Well, and as you come full circle, it's such a powerful story of the sovereignty of God.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It is.
What would you say to someone who is hurting right now? What do you believe God would want you to say to them?
That there is help for them, that He is the great healer, and that His forgiveness is there. They come to a place of knowing that. And I would tell them that there are pregnancy resource centers all over the Hawaiian Islands. I've met many of your directors over there, and they have post-abortion Bible studies, abortion recovery studies. They have counselors to help people work through those issues and the grief to a point of accepting forgiveness that God has for them and beginning a relationship with Him if they don't already have one. There is help, and it is not far away. Healing is worth it. The hard work of the healing, so much better to go through it and get to a place where you are okay, totally healed, and available for God to use.
And healing for both men and women.
Yes. Men need a healing as well as the women. And I tell you, my heart especially goes out to the daddies who wanted their children, but because our laws say they have no voice, who had to stand by with no way to save their child. Mm-hmm. Those men especially, it just breaks my heart. And Suzanne, 63% of the women who have abortions do so because they're pushed by someone else. Often it is a perpetrator of abuse. It could be their fiance, their boyfriend, their husband, their mom, their dad, if they're, you know, young teenagers. Many, many abortions that women don't want happen every single day because of the influence or threats of someone else.
And then just today, the ruling comes down from Supreme Court for the state of Texas and, of course, in other states. It's just, it's so tragic.
Yeah, House Bill 2 was one that we all worked on so hard here in Texas, and we are not done. We are not done.
Good.
And the sad thing is that women die because of botched abortions way more often than people realize. Legal botched abortions.
Yes.
And they're just, it's a shame that our government doesn't value women's lives any more than they do the babies, because that's essentially what this does, is it puts women at the risk, as well as, you know, of course we're trying to save the babies' lives. And yes, I was thanking God today for all the babies who've been saved during this time period where it has been up in the air. And our governor responded strongly and immediately to that decision this morning, and we are not done.
Keep pressing on. Keep pressing on.
Julie,
thank you.
Suzanne, let's continue our discussion. Let's continue our heart-to-heart sharing. Let's do a part two, okay? Let's move on, and in a moment, we're going to spend more time with Julie Ziegler-Norman, talking about these things and other very, very pressing matters. And so that's why today, dear friend, I hope that you've been encouraged by the story of Julie Ziegler-Norman. You can find out more about her at julieziegler-norman.com. You know what? There's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. If you haven't done so, this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. And to help us with your financial support, to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. Proverbs 28, verse 1. The wicked run away when no one is chasing them, but the godly are as bold as lions. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to Julie Ziegler-Norman. Find out more at julieziegler-norman.com. Until next time, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Chaz Antai, guest coordinator Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life. Just